the Sunday homily today, schoolmaster size. Schoolmaster, okay? On Friday, at the school mass, I introduced the mass by saying it's all about the kids today, because it was the feast of St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco was a man in the 1800s who had a dream when he was 9 years old about how he would be in charge of a large group of unruly boys, and how the dream manifested itself in a way that influenced him all his life. He remembered that dream, and in that dream, God came in a great white suit, or he imagined it, God told him that he would be put in charge of these boys, and so he began to be in charge by pushing and shoving and fighting and fussing with them, because that's what nine-year-olds do, right? If they want to take control of the room, they fuss and fight, they punch and they shove, right? Unfortunately, yes, I think that is the case, right? Anyway, in the same dream or in another dream shortly after, he dreamed that the unruly boys turned from wild animals into lambs. And so this dream, again, influenced him for his entire life. And we know John Bosco as one of the great saints who cared for orphans and children in particular. And so it was all about the children. The gospel was also about how we have to become childlike. Well, today, even though it's Catholic Schools Day, it's really not about the kids today. It's really about our seniors. For our seniors are highlighted in the gospel between Anna and Simeon, who awaited the salvation of God and came to them, or God came to them in Christ Jesus in the temple. And so it's really about the seniors today. And so I'd like to take this time to acknowledge our seniors. I'm not going to ask you to stand up because I don't want anybody to tell me your age, okay? But to acknowledge our seniors who do so much for us. These, our seniors, are the ones who are faithful, the ones who come week after week after week. These are the ones who support our campaigns and who sit at your basketball games and come to your soccer games and whatever else sports you're playing week after week after week. These are the ones who do our church linens. These are the ones who count our collections. These are the ones who come to our prayer vigils and our novenas. These are our seniors, are the ones who show us the example of Simeon and Anna in their faithful prayer, in their faithful way of life. And so acknowledge our seniors today. Let's give our seniors a hand, huh? To our school children, how many of you love your grandparents? Raise your hand. All right. What do you love about your grandparents? What's your favorite thing about your grandparents? They care about you. All right. What's your favorite thing about your grandparents? If your mom and dad are not around, they take care of you. Wonderful. What's your favorite thing about your grandparents? Sometimes when you spend the night, you get to pray the rosary with them. You hear that? What's your favorite thing about your grandparents? Come on, all the way in the back. Basketball games, all right, yes. My favorite thing about my grandmother, sink, was she made the sweetest tea in the whole wide world. I mean, I don't know what that was. It was syrup more than it was tea, but I loved my grandmother's tea. And I loved the fact that my grandmother, in her dining room, had this beautiful picture of Jesus and Mary. My grandmother McAvoy, yes, my other side is Irish, my grandmother McAvoy, she would give us these little tiny Coca-Colas, and you have to be old to remember those, right? But these little tiny Coca-Colas, we were not allowed to have Coke ever in my house. I had my first Coke in my mother's house when I was about 18. We weren't allowed it. And so my grandmother had these little tiny Coke to her house. We got that. But the other thing about my grandmother, McAvoy, she had this most beautiful statue of Jesus. It's called the Infant of Prague. And this beautiful statue of Jesus, and she changed the clothes on this statue liturgically. So when it was Lent, it was in purple, and when it was Easter, it was in Christmas, when it was Christmas or Easter, it was in white, and it was an ordinary time, it was in green, just like the priest's vestments. I love this thing. I do not know what happened to that statue. I wish I knew what happened to that statue, because I want it, right? God, I wasn't able to find out who got my grandmother's statue, all right? These are the things I remember about my grandparents, the faithfulness and love and the caring that they offer. Well, again, going back to the feast day, today, you know, we have so much to be thankful for those who wait in vigil and who are patient in their kindness and in their compassion. Both Simeon and Anna get their high exalted position in the scripture, not because they were temple officials or not because they had some great degree in theology, but they get their credentials, they get their high exalted position simply because they understood the ways of God. They understood the ways of God. They were led by the Spirit, the gospel tells us. And in their advanced degree of prayer and vigilance, they suggest to us that through fidelity and through prayerful concern, God will become available to those who awake and who are awake. Both Simeon and Anna, Simeon's prayer was that he would not die before he beheld the Lord. Simeon would not die before he looked upon his salvation. And to this very day, the church says the prayer of Simeon as the last prayer of the night. Every day, the church's final prayer is, Lord, you let your servant go in peace, for your word has been fulfilled. For my own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. It is the prayer of Simeon that the church has on its lips before it goes to sleep at night. I pray that I have seen the salvation of God, a light revealed to the nations, and the glory of the people Israel. Have you started saying that prayer at night? Start. It truly is the last prayer of the church's evening. Why? Because like Simeon, those of us who remain faithful, those of us who seek his way and who await his coming, pray each and every day that our own eyes will have seen the salvation. And as a priest and as a faithful one like yourselves, I would hope that at the end of every day, you would be able to see a moment where God has been revealed to you. Right? Look around and see the compassion, see the kindness, see the goodness, see the charity, see the love, and give thanks to God that your own eyes have seen the salvation, the light of God given to his people. So many of us go to bed at night grumbling and grunting about things, right? How awful it is, and how terrible it is, and how cool it is. But that's not the church's stance at all. That's not the Christian's stance at all. To be joyful and await the coming of the Lord is the stance of those of us who remain vigilant. And yes, sisters and brothers, you are the ones who remain vigilant. You're the ones here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. It's a good thing that we have vigilant, faithful, persistent people who look for the day of salvation and await his coming and his light. And our seniors are our prime example of that. In a world where we want to throw the old away really quickly, want the best new phone, want the best iPad Air. I have the iPad Air. I got one the other day. I have it, right? But we want the newest and the best and the quickest and the smartest. Those are not bad things in themselves. But when we start throwing away the old and forget the wisdom of the ages, that's what church is about, by the way, you young people. You young people, it's about that. It's about looking to the wisdom of the ages. You know, we hate church. Why? Because it's boring. There's nothing there for me. Except the wisdom of the ages. Except the faithfulness of 2,000 years. That's what we get here. It's not about the newest and the fastest and the quickest and the smartest. It's about the wisest and the faithful and the persistent and the patience and the waiting. It's about the glory and the light and the salvation and the love and the passion and the charity. And about the hope and the goodness and the reconciliation and the power of God to remove sin. It's all good here, folks. Every bit of it is good. That's what we celebrate in this moment. What does Anna and Simeon represent for us? They represent to praise God faithfully. They represent courageous love. They represent the citizenship of the kingdom. They represent the life and light of hope. Now you can let your servant go in peace, for my word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. We praise God for his light and his goodness, his glory today.